This is Pamela Bano speaking as part of the Hidden Truths Project, and you are listening to commentary related to the Couch Tomb Historical Marker, located in Lincoln Park between West LaSalle Drive and the Chicago History Museum near North Avenue and Clark Street. My project started right here at this tomb. As a child, I remember my father driving off Lakeshore Drive at North Avenue and me looking out the car window, noticing this little stone building. It didn't make any sense to me. I could read the word couch above the door, but there was a chain-link fence surrounding it and craggy bushes obscuring most of it. It did not look as imposing and clean and lit up at night as it does today. It looked hidden and neglected. Ira Couch, one of Chicago's first millionaires, died at the age of 50 while wintering in Cuba in February 1857. His body was shipped back to Chicago and arrived on March 4th. The funeral was the next day. More than a year later, this vault was constructed on site. On August 14, 1858, the Chicago Tribune reported in a short article entitled Splendid Vault, "The relatives of the late Ira Couch are now engaged in erecting a family vault in the cemetery, which promises to eclipse anything of the kind in this city. It is to be constructed of Lockport stone, of which it will contain 100 tons. The cover of the vault is 16 feet in length by 7 in width, 1 foot thick at the edges, and 16 inches in the center. It required 8 horses for its movement. The vault is to be of sufficient size to contain 11 bodies, which will be placed in niches in the wall. It will cost, when completed, $7,000 and is a generous testimonial of the esteem of the living for the departed." $7,000 in 1858 had the same buying power as $182,000 today. When Ira Couch died, his funeral arrangements were paid for with money he had left for that purpose in his estate. He had written his last will and testament 2 years earlier. His legacy was left largely in the form of vast real estate holdings, including one of Chicago's first luxury hotels, the Tremont House. There were actually 3 Tremont houses by the time Ira died. The first two had burned to the ground. When the latest Tremont House was built in 1850 on the corner of Dearborn and Lake Streets, it was so grand it may have seemed an unwise enterprise, as it was referred to as Couch's Folly. A question that has come up repeatedly since the Chicago City Cemetery closed and all the other evidence of its presence was removed is, why was this tomb left standing here? Many different answers have been proposed, but except for one Chicago Tribune reference, none have provided the definitive reason. It has been speculated that the Couch brothers, Ira and James, had enough political clout to have allowed James to bargain for the vault's lasting presence. Another explanation was that there was a Supreme Court judgment that ruled the tomb could stay in Lincoln Park. There is no evidence for either of those presumptions. It was also suggested that the tomb remain as a not uninteresting reminder of the old cemetery. That reason is also unlikely, as the Lincoln Park commissioners were busy landscaping the park to erase all reminders of the cemetery. When officials were disinterring graves from the city cemetery, it was at the orders of the family lot owners. Each lot had an individual title. There is no record in the Chicago Park District Archive of any member of the Couch family requesting to transfer title or to arrange for the removal of the tomb. As part of my research, I found a Supreme Court document detailing an ongoing legal battle between various members of the Couch family and others who were angling for money and property from Ira Couch's estate. According to Ira's will, his widow, his brother James, and his appointed trustee took control of his land and properties in trust for 20 years. After 20 years, the estate was to be divided into 4 parts, shared equally between his widow, his daughter, his brother James, and James's son Ira. Ira Couch's legacy and worth were connected to his real estate holdings. Although his estate was valued at more than $1 million at the time of his death, the money was tied up in his properties. By 1877, the 20-year point in the will, the Couch estate had dwindled, and James Couch held substantial debts. The 1871 Chicago fire had destroyed the 3rd Tremont House and all of the property in the estate's other land holdings. 1877 was also the year that Lincoln Park was cleared of the remaining visible reminders of the city cemetery. The most likely explanation for why the tomb remained standing here was that it was too expensive to move during the stage of transitioning the cemetery into park grounds. The Lincoln Park commissioners did not have the monetary resources to pay the reported $3,000 it would have cost to remove the tomb. It doesn't appear that the Couch heirs had the necessary funds either. $3,000 in 1877 had the same buying power as $61,000 today. On February 18, 1877, the Chicago Tribune wrote this: "With the completion of the present work, every vestige of the old cemetery will have disappeared except Couch's tomb. Masons have carefully examined the structure and say it will cost nearly $3,000 to remove it to Rose Hill, and the commissioners have determined to let it remain and plant trees thickly around it." Plant trees thickly around it. The Lincoln Park commissioners intended to try to hide the tomb from view. To be fair, the park looked different back then. There were a lot of bushes and trees, many more than there are today. If you look at the pictures presented in the "Why Is It Still Here?" section within the Couch Tomb part of the Hidden Truths website, you will see several photographs showing the varying degrees of success the commissioners had in hiding the tomb. In the most recent photograph on that page, from the late 1980s, the tomb is almost entirely hidden. Only the word "Couch" is visible above the greenery. Over the years, the Couch tomb suffered various indignities, including spray-painted graffiti and strewn trash and scattered broken glass near its walls. Its original iron fence had been stolen or otherwise removed around the year 1910. Since that time, it had been surrounded with variations of chain-link fencing. Because of its dense foliage and convenient location, in the 1980s, the site was also known as a gay male cruising area. And with a nod to those in the know at that time, there was a gay nightclub called Bushes in the North Halsted area. After nearly 130 years of neglect and attempts to hide it, a decision was made to clean up the site and showcase the tomb. In 1999, at a cost of $116,000, private foundations recreated the original iron fence, removed all the bushes, cleared the landscape, and implanted lights in the ground to showcase the tomb at night. Something that has never been noted about this vault, that turns out to have been built by Chicago's first professional architect, is that it is the oldest structure left standing within the Chicago fire zone. Today, the formerly hidden tomb stands as a proud monument to Chicago's rich past. And one more thing. As long as there has been the question of why this vault remains, people have been asking, how many individuals are laid to rest inside the tomb? After reading many speculative responses to that question, the only real resolution would be to open the door and have a look inside.